Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
You are listening to Pastor Elvis Ajiman. Pastor Elvis Ajiman is the founder of Grace Mountain Ministry and the convener of Alpha R. Follow Pastor Elvis on podcast. Podcast added for Android users is Pastor Ajiman Elvis, and podcast for Apple users is Pastor Ajiman Elvis. And now today's message. Stay blessed.
I will speak on the word, the realm of glory, the realm of glory. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the totality of His person and His complex wisdom and the operations of His being. The totality of God's person. So when we say glory, we are talking about God and everything He stands for. His abilities, His power, His wisdom, His glory, everything composed that glory. So when we talk about the glory of God, we are talking about the one that created the heavens and the earth. And then I will speak some more about how He relinquished this glory upon man. You see, Genesis chapter 1, He has finished His creation. Then He said, let us create man in our own image and in our likeness. And the Bible said that after creating man, He blessed man and said, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion over the cattle of the land, the fishes of the sea, and the birds of the air. So man just appeared with a blessing. And the blessing is that everything around him must respond to him. He's simply having dominion over everything. So by chapter 2 of Genesis, man is... So, Genesis chapter 2, man has been translated as a physical being. And he steps out into authority. And then, the first time and the first way for man to exercise the blessedness of dominion is that he began to name everything that God created. And when you look into the Hebrew meaning of naming, the word name means to impose character and identity. So God will create a lion and would not name it a lion, but will bring the creator to Adam and tell Adam, exercise your dominion. And then he calls it a lion. And suddenly the lion develops features and begins to behave in a way, because man says I should behave that way. Dominion. Everything was responding to man. But it was in Hebrews chapter 2 we saw what was actually bargaining for such submission from creation. What will let every other creation want to submit to man? The Bible says that, and God crowned. Can we read Hebrews 2 verse 7? Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Verse 8. You gave them authority over all things. Now when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under the altar. I'll come there very soon. The Bible now tells us what was actually working around man that made it possible that all things be subject to him. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, who is man? That thou art mindful of. And who is the son of man? That you visit. For you crowned him with glory. Somebody say glory. Somebody shout, say glory. This is where we saw what was at work in Genesis 2. You have crowned him with something called glory. He may not be stronger than a lion. But that thing tells the lion to honor him. Am I talking to a church at all? Glory is an invincible energy that represents the power of God around a man. So, it's invincible. You can't see it. But a man walking in a measure of glory steps here. And every other thing begins to respond to him. Why? Because that thing is not responding to the man, it's responding to the glory. What man didn't know was that it was not that a lion was very respectful. It was actually responding to something called glory. And it was in Hebrews 2 we realized that beyond the blessing was a crown of glory. Listen, when that glory is coming, you don't see. And when it is leaving to you, don't see. That is what happened to Samson. Happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Happened to a lot. I saw. You see, that glory is invincible. It is the personality of God engulfing a man. And yet not making anyone see. But their heart cannot resist. I'm talking to somebody who will be crowned with glory after tonight. And this is the bargaining power of humanity. So Adam would just walk about with total dominion. Nothing can hurt him. And whatever he desires, everything is at his service. And what he didn't know was that the crown of glory was negotiating for that subjection. Can I tell you something? There is a currency of God on earth. It's called glory. The earth responds to nothing but the glory of God. And when that glory of God comes upon you, the things that kill others will serve you. Because it's not about you, it's about the glory. Am I speaking to a church at all? You see? Everything was responding to Adam. Gold was responding. Money was responding. Favor was responding. Everything at all. Good health. Until chapter 3. Something happened. He sinned. And God said, if you sin against me, you will die. And actually, man didn't understand. What God was trying to say. If you sin against me, I will remove that presence. And very soon the things that bow to you will trample over you. And man yet didn't understand. And they eventually disobeyed. And the moment they disobeyed, interestingly,
yes, you can.
Wait, hear me.
China TV.
Instead of dying,
then we'll be, you know,
man came back to life.
Anna, in the power, even now,
something called self.
Baby,
I'm naked.
But,
I'm sick.
Sorry.
I'm weak.
I am.
I'm angry.
Okay,
these were things that were not there. Because he was dead when God was alive around him. The moment God left, he came to life. The way to walk in the life of God is the way of death. And when Adam came to self, then God said, there is another tree of life somewhere. If Adam should touch this, he will be like us, he will live forever. So let us put the price of the glory. The only hope for that glory was that tree of life. But then if man, you would want to eat that glory again and have that glory around you, then you must pay the price of that glory. And then God placed something called the flaming sword around the tree of life. If you can handle it, you can eat it. If you cannot, go into your death. The sword and the fire was the way to the glory. And any time Adam is tempted to go and eat the tree of life, he will see that fire and that sword moving around it. What does it mean? Anyone that touches this glory must die. If you don't pass through the sword and don't pass through the fire, you cannot see the glory. This is what happened. That is why when Moses asked the Lord, show me your glory, God told Moses, anyone that sees my face will die. People who are alive don't see the glory. It's dead people that sees the glory. That is how come the Bible said he made Moses build a tabernacle with three compartments and the outer court, the first part, the only thing you see there is an altar. What is there on the altar? Fire and the sword. You must pass through it to get to the glory. Am I here with the church at all? And this was the sacrifice. Somebody must pay a price. That is why Jesus said, if a man will follow me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. And he said, he that loses his life will find it. He that finds it will lose it. The way to life is death. The way to this realm of glory we are talking about, people of God, is death. And no man could attempt it. No man. So what was happening was that anytime they wanted to access the glory in the tabernacle, they would pick an animal and let the animal die for them. And they would pick the blood with them. That is the only way they can approach the Ark of Covenant. To show a blood that I'm dead. God will not show up until somebody is dead. And they will always pull the blood to show the Lord that I am dead. You must come. And then God will come. And they will show another one. Masapala Mataya. Listen, that is why the greatest sin that man committed was to lose the glory. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. And the original Aramaic and the Greek will put it, for all have sinned, semicolon. All have fallen short of the glory. So, you did not lose the glory because you sinned. You have sinned because you deliberately lost the glory. So the Bible makes us clear that all have sinned because we lost the glory. And when we lost it, there was another way to find it. And it is the way of the sword and the fire. How do we assess it? That was when God realized that no man can really touch the true glory unless he comes and die for man.
And
when he dies for man, he will call men into glory through faith in his sacrifice.
Am
I here with the church at all? I want you to understand. So the Bible says that,
trying to say,
I pray for you that the eyes of your understanding will be opened, that you will know the hope of his glory. And then the second thing, the riches of the glory of his inheritance for the saints. So everybody must understand that your wealth is his glory. The riches of his glory. That is why Apostle Paul would say, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory on this earth. Money don't buy things. It is the glory that gives you things. Am I here with the church at all? I'm telling you, the saints bargain for things by the wealth they have in the in glory that has been invested into them. And then the Bible says, Jesus came to die. And he died for everyone who can behold the glory that he has received. So he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then it tells us something very important in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, with open faces, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord changed. So now, someone has gone through the sword and the fire and have received the glory. So how do I partake from that one? Because he has gone through the fire. He has gone through the sword. I am not supposed to go through again. But there is a system to have what he has received. Because the Bible said he received it for us. And the Bible said we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And the more we behold, we are changed into that image. From glory to glory by the same Spirit. That means the only way to attain the glory Jesus received. John saw in heaven that thousands and thousands of angels were crying out in worship. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory. He received the Shekinah. It's with him. Now, there is a way to partake. And the Bible says that way is to see. And how do I observe? How do I see? And the whole book of the Bible was written systematically to show us how we can keep seeing the glory and be changing into the glory. Tonight, may you be changing. He said that the more we see, the more we are changed. From glory to glory, we can't be the same. We are changed from that glory. And then the Bible, the Holy Spirit inspired the writer of the book of Hebrews to give us the many sides of the glory that Jesus received, that if we behold, we will become. And then the chapter 1 of Hebrews, he begins by saying that in sundry times and in time past, our fathers were spoken to by the prophet. But in our day, God has spoken to us by his Son, who is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And it says that who by himself
also
died for us and now is seated
And as I say,
at the right hand. How do I begin to share in the glory? The first point is to know that Jesus is a message to me. He's saying that in the olden days, the prophet spoke to the fathers. But in our day, God has spoken to us by his son. Jesus is our message. And what is the message? He is the brightness of God's glory. How do I step into this glory? It's when I see Jesus as the brightness of God's glory. He's the blessedness of all good health. He's the blessedness of all peace. He's the blessedness of all promotion. He's the blessedness of all power. He is my message. Jesus.
Jesus.
He said, anyone that attempts to make Jesus a message,
oh, yes, sir, yes, not,
this is the first step into stepping into glory. And he said, be conscious of this message that he by himself died for you and is seated. So the first step of stepping into the glory and partaking of that which Jesus has is to confess boldly that he died for you. Oh, I confess, Jesus died for me. He died all by himself and called me into glory. Am I here with the church at all? He said, this is the first one. So this is the most important one to know, that Jesus is higher in glory than prophets. He spoke to the old people by the prophets. But this time, he has spoken to us by Jesus. That means Jesus is higher than all personalities. Anyone that catches that revelation will automatically see a visitation of Jesus. Am I talking to a church at all? Anyone that was in that revelation, someone said, Jesus, you are Lord. You are my all in all. There is none like you. You are the center of my life. In the name of Jesus. This is how he visits with glory. Then the writer of Hebrews compared him to the second thing. And he said he has been made far higher than angels. And he said, which of the angels did he say, thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee. He said he's higher than angels. And then he tells us, by what that makes him higher than angels? And he said, because he has received by inheritance a more excellent name. He said, this is what makes him higher. And he said, the angels are just ministering spirits. He said, I've made them spirits. But this one is a son. When I didn't understand God, one time people were calling me spirit. And I was happy until I understood that it is angels that are spirits. The highest glory in the kingdom is to be called a son. Am I here with the church at all? That is the highest form of glory. And the Bible said Jesus is higher than angels by these two dimensions of glory. Number one, he is the son. And number two, he has been given a name. The Bible said at the mention of that name, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. How do I tap into that glory? It's when I make good use of the name. He said, go into the world, preach the gospel. Anyone that believes, anyone that believes, baptize them, they shall be saved. And in my, this is how we tap into the glory of Christ. Anyone who has no value for the name of Jesus will never assess the dimension of his glory. No. The Bible says that it was given to him as inheritance. So he was called a son. And the inheritance that was given to him is a name. Throughout the Old Testament, anytime God did something, instead of thanking him, they will call that thing by a name. So God was named after his heart. But in the New Testament, when his son resurrected, he said, I combine all my names in the Old Testament. I give it to you as an inheritance. Anyone that mentions Jesus is assessing El Shaddai, is assessing Adonai, is assessing Elohim, in the name of Jesus be elevated. Masadim Bitakaya. In the name of Jesus be healed. And then what? God combined all his names. So anytime you say Jesus, you are automatically saying Rafa. That is why he said, in my name, these signs shall follow them. In my name. That means all signs and wonders is conversed and connected to the power of that name. I believe in that name. I said, I believe in that name. I believe in that name. Listen, glory is not magic. It's understanding the methods by which we walk from glory to glory. And one of them is to understand his name. Masofa. In the name of Jesus, I'm moving higher. In the name of Jesus, I'm healing the sick. In the name of Jesus, I'm breaking through. In the name of Jesus, I'm winning souls. In the name of Jesus, I'm entering territory. Somebody prophesy in that name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And chapter 2, he makes it clear. This is how we access the glory. By being proud that we are sons. And then being focused on the name. Then he moves to chapter 2. And says that who is man? That you are mindful of. For you crowned him with glory. And with honor. And he said that you put all things under his feet. But he said, but we do not see. Why? Because man lost the glory. So things began to rebel. So we don't see things under his feet. But he said, but we see Jesus. Hey, we see Jesus. I said, we see Jesus. He said, who was made a little lower than the angels by the suffering of death? He was made lower. Can you give me the verse 9? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Somebody say, Jesus died for me. Verse 10. Quickly. For it was fitting for him. For whom are all things? And by whom are all things? Which are you reading with me? In bringing many sons to glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect. Through suffering. Oh, I love the verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. For he that sanctifies and he that is sanctified are all of one. What are they of? He tasted death for them. That through suffering he might be the author of their eternal salvation. That means that there is one thing that will be synonymous with him and his brethren. He said, because of that thing, he is not ashamed. And what is that thing? The baptism of suffering. Oh, I know many people not like this one. He said that he suffered by death and then called us into glory. And became the author of an eternal salvation. Through suffering. So that we together with him will be of one. How was the salvation possible? Through suffering. So how can we be one with him? Through suffering. Romans chapter 8. Verse 17. If you suffer together with him, you will be glorified together with him. The Bible says, for we are joint heirs together with him. How do we access the third dimension of Christ's glory? It's when we accept the call of suffering. I love what I was hearing here. He said that he is the best church planter. Let me tell you, it's not Lazarus. That's the fellowship of suffering.
And then you're
with Jesus. I desire it. He said that those are the people he's not ashamed to call brethren. So he told one of the churches, he said, beware lest someone takes your crown. That crown of life, it is there for those that suffer. That one day, we will appear before him. And it will amaze you that those that have the Lazarus in church will be the last to be called. But those that suffered for him, Masabina Mataya. I always say this thing. He said that when you shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he said you will be witnesses. The Greek word for the witness means Matthias. So we will be receiving power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That you will be Matthias of me. So one day they preached. They were beaten. And they began to rejoice. For they have suffered for Christ. It is a realm of glory. There is a glory that comes along with that. That is the glory of death. Oh, I tell you. There are people who have a special place with God. They are the martyrs. People who have died for the sake of the gospel. You want to enter into realms of glory. Understand the place of suffering. There is an aspect in Jesus. Apart from his name that commands glory. Apart from his sonship that commands glory. Apart from him being a message that commands glory. There is part of him that is his suffering. That sometimes you are too tired. He feels it. And you keep moving. Then he calls the angels. These are my brothers. The Bible says he's not ashamed to call them brethren. For they are of one. Anytime we go through the pain, he remembers his sacrifice on the cross. When he had every chance to give up, but he didn't. Somebody is stepping into a new glory. It's the glory of the baptism of suffering. Where you go through the pain, yet you rejoice. You are rejoicing for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul begins to give his credentials. He says that in death I've died often. How can a man die plenty? He says, I've died often. He said, prisons often. He said, perils in the wilderness often. Perils in the sea often. He said, the curse of the churches. He said, they are upon me. He said, I've been beaten with rod 3 times. He said, I've been beaten 40 times, saved one 3 times. They said 40 times Jesus was beaten. That he went to die. Apostle Paul took 3 times. Still rejoicing for Jesus. Oh, he was stoned. They confirmed him dead. And the Bible says that at midnight, they threw him out. And the same Bible says that when he left there, he went to another town preaching. We are calling ourselves from the comfort zone. Woe unto him who is at ease in Zion. We are upon Mount Zion. It is a place of suffering. I'm telling you. Anybody that tells you Christianity is all about bread and fish has deceived you. There is a place you get to. The glory that comes with it is that Jesus calls you a brother. That's the place of suffering. Then the verse 3, chapter 3. He moves us to another realm where we can tap his glory. And he says that for Jesus was greater than Moses. In that the church of Moses failed in the wilderness. Because they did not believe. And he said, let us take heed. Lest we also miss this rest. And how is the glory of Jesus higher than that of Moses? Because with Jesus, it is a call of faith. As many that believe in him, to them gave him power. In chapter 3, he exalts the mystery of faith. That it is only by faith we will see the glory of rest. Am I talking to a church at all? It is only by faith. Listen, faith doesn't move the well. No, it moves the heavens to release the glory that moves the world. The world will never be impressed by your faith. There is no level of faith that moves. If you tell the world, I believe in Jesus. And so what? But faith shakes heaven. Then heaven releases glory. Then the glory commands the world. And then chapter 3 says that the perfection of that faith happens when people begin to believe in Jesus. I am dangerously in faith with Jesus. I believe him. I believe him for life. I believe him for food. I believe him for clothes. I believe him for church growth. I believe him for souls. I believe him for miracles. Somebody shout, I believe Jesus. And then chapter 4 tells us when we believe the kind of glory we receive. And he said we receive the glory of rest. Oh, the Bible says that there remained rest for his people. Rest. Somebody say rest.
Rest.
And when we read the verse 15 and the verse 16 of the Hebrews chapter 4, he said we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with our infirmities. For he was tempted at all points.
Yet
did not sin. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that you will obtain mercy and grace in times of need. So this is the rest. When you believe God so much that you know you have a high priest who cannot be touched with our infirmity. I pray for somebody here. Sicknesses are departing right now. He said he was tempted at all points, yet did not sin. So are you burdened with addiction? Your problem is a faith problem. He said that when you begin to believe Jesus, what you enter in is rest. Because you only come boldly to the throne. And you will find a high priest who have gone through what you are going through. Yes. He has gone through. And the Bible said when you come, you will obtain mercy. And when you obtain mercy, you will find grace in time of need. So at the point where you think shame has come, then grace shows up. When you are given deadline, so he's saying that believe Jesus to a point that you can rest. How can you pay your school fees? I will soon attend to the throne of grace. So long as I will go to the throne of grace, I'm resting. I tell somebody is entering into his rest. Yes. This is the glory. We enter rest. No. We are not scared. We are entering our rest. Because we know our high priest got our back. In times of need, help will come. Somebody's help is coming. I said, somebody's help is coming. Somebody's help is coming. And then the chapter 5, he tells us of how great his priesthood ministry, that's Jesus' priesthood ministry, it's higher than that of Aaron. And he said, Aaron kept dying. But Jesus' priesthood is forever. And he said, he is able to save. Jesus. Even to the uttermost. And he said, this one cried. So that he will be the author of our eternal salvation. Then he put a full stop. He said, I can't continue. He said, because some of you are not mature. Because the chapter 5 tells us that if you are saved, rest in it. Don't be scared. Jesus cover you to earth. It was in chapter 5 he revealed that our salvation is not renewed yearly. It's eternal. It is in the chapter 5. Then he tells us that he cannot continue. Then he comes back to tell us that when you should be teachers, you are still looking for milk. And he said, most of you are not skillful in the word of righteousness. Then I won't continue there. Then he quickly jumps to chapter 6. Then he tells us that God is not unjust to forget your labor of love. And he tells us, and all the work you have been doing, in that you minister to the saints. People of God, there is a glory reserved for people who minister to the saints. There is a glory. And he said that God is not unjust. And then he said, be diligent to continue. And hold on to the hope. He said, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Then he continues to tell us that we should follow after those who through faith and patience endured until they receive the promise. So they keep ministering. They keep ministering until the promise was fulfilled. We are not wasting our time. Do you see the people who were the best here? They are not wasting their time. I'm about to show you something. There is a special glory reserved for them. He said that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith yes, go ahead. Verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one, he swore by himself. Only this part, he introduces oath. God is not unjust. When it comes to people working in the kingdom, he has sworn by himself. Look at that. They is surely blessing, I'll bless you, and multiplying, I'll multiply you. Verse 15. And so far, after he has go ahead, I'm showing the church something here. For men in this swore by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all these things. Yes, God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. So now he's come to tell us his counsel, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. People of God, we are consoled. We can fast.
And they scare us, we will be sick. But we are consoled. Oh, there is two immutable oaths. Number one, God cannot lie. And number two, He has promised to glorify us. We might have strong consolation. Go back, let me show them something. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. There is a hope. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Then can we all shout the last part? Want to go? And which enters, can I hear the church? Want to go? And which enters the presence behind
the veil.
This is the hope of those who keep working.
When they hear Jimmy, that's war.
He said that this hope
that's way
passes through the outer court
and fire upon
into the holy place.
And
this is the hope of a glory.
When that's war,
which is the very glory behind the veil. What is the glory behind the veil? There's a kind of glory.
Yes, a kind of glory.
He said that is the promise.
I said,
the Lord has given to those that keep ministering to the saints. So anytime you are serving in the kingdom, you are not bargaining for the outer court glory. You are not bargaining for the holy place glory. You are bargaining for the Holy of Holies glory. Am I here with the church at all? I'm talking about the place of covenant. Jesus. That is the glory we
serve.
He said it is behind the veil glory. That presence. That is how come people who die for the kingdom carries an unusual presence around them. Yes. Because they are accessing the glory behind the veil. There is the glory for wealth. There is the glory for healing. There is the glory for miracles. But there is the glory of His presence. It's for those who minister. I pray for somebody here. May you access that glory. May you access that glory. Listen, you are not wasting your time. Every money you are giving out, every time you are giving out, every energy you are giving out, I'm telling you, there is a price. It is the behind the veil glory. God Himself comes to tabernacle on you. Have you not realized that massive miracles happening on crusade grounds? When people go beyond the comfort and strive to minister, the presence. I'm telling you, I've not finished, but this is the one I desire the most. I just want God to clothe me. That's all I'm looking for. The clothes of God. And you see, it comes by service. The more you just came, some of you may have been doing a lot of rehearsal. Then you come and minister. Whilst you are ministering, you are sewing a garment with God's presence. All around you. Spending midnight praying for the church. Giving massive money for the kingdom expansion. The Bible says that keep on being diligent.
Why?
Because you will soon access the glory beyond the veil. And then chapter 7 tells us that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. That means everybody must understand the glory of your salvation. That it is to the end. The uttermost means that to the end. That means, listen, this is heaven. The Bible says we have an high priest who does not die. And he is able to save to all those who come to God. He sends them to the uttermost, to the end, seeing that he maketh intercession. So whilst we are walking like this, 2023, he's praying for you. 2024, he's praying. Because at the end, you must reach heaven. There is a glory that we have in Christ. It's the glory of his intercession. Whereby he is praying, the devil will plot fornication, but Jesus will pray strength. The devil will plot my falling, Jesus will pray my standing. The devil will plot my weakness, Jesus will pray my strength. Until I finish my race, he has not stopped praying. That is the glory that we share in him. And he said, the more you behold this glory, that means this glory is not for those who doesn't know Jesus is praying for them. But from today, you wake up in the morning, thank you Jesus, I will finish this day not as an idol worshipper. I will finish as a Christian. I will finish my race as a Christian, seeing that he forever maketh intercession for me. My God, I will finish as a pastor. I will finish as an usher. I will finish as a singer. I will finish as a soul winner. I will. We are in a country where people start rising, and then the only thing you hear is that, let's just wait. This thing that he has started, it won't go anywhere. Let's just wait. Great Citadel is opening branches everywhere. Let's just wait. It won't go everywhere. Chapter 7 of Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest who is making intercession even to the uttermost. Whatever he has started with you, he will keep praying for you till you finish it. I'm praying for Great Citadel. You will not finish in Ghana. You will finish when globally every nation has been planted in every nation. In the name of Jesus, our feet are not growing weary, our hands are not growing weary, we are not getting tired. I'm talking to somebody here. We are not getting tired because we have a high priest who intercedes for us to the uttermost. Then the chapter 8, he said, if the old covenant was not faulty, there would not be a need for a new. Then he said, a new covenant I will make with you. I will have mercy on their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. So chapter 8, he introduced us to a new glory. That is the glory of covenant. He has made a covenant with us that I renew my mercy every morning. Before you make the mistake, mercy is there. Basheferi Kitaya. This is not for the immature. This is for the mature. You see, his priesthood is a high priesthood. If you study the chapter 7 very well, he will tell you that his priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. Then he says that the greater is the lesser is blessed by the greater. For Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. He finished and said, we are the seed of Abraham. And he is a priest after the order. That means, and you know what? Melchizedek gave bread and wine. And Abraham gave a tithe.
And Abraham turned to the two.
That means that there is a covenant we have. Anytime you eat a communion, it's a reminder that you must pay your tithe. One day you understand. Because the communion is a sign that whatever you have is a victory from the Lord. It's a victory. Melchizedek gave bread and wine. Jesus gave bread and wine. We are the seed of Abraham. Abraham gave a tithe after he received the bread and wine. So, anytime we also eat of the bread and wine,
We are saying that our blessing is by the result of the blood. Anything you have is because of the blood and the sacrifice. Therefore, my Father, I come to give a portion because my victory is of you. And he said, if you can do this, then the chapter 8 is a new covenant. I will show you mercy. I will show you mercy. I will. And then chapter 9, he tells us the power of the blood. Why he will show us mercy. Then he tells us that he has the power to cleanse our conscience from dead works. For the blood of bulls and goats were cleansing only the flesh. But his blood cleanses the conscience. And then verse 10 tells us the danger for not accepting the sacrifice. He said it is fearful to fall into the hands of God. And he said that if even the laws, those who disobeyed the laws of Moses were punished, how much those who trample over the spirit of grace that we have received. So we see, he said that it is appointed unto a man to die once. After that, so in chapter 10 he warns us, if you refuse this sacrifice and glory of Jesus, you will one day die and you will have to face judgment for yourself. But if you accept it, Jesus will be your judgment. That is the glory. Then chapter 11, he shows us that if you doubt this, check that the whole of the Old Testament operated by faith. For by faith, our forefathers obtained a good report. And he tells us the kind of report they received. But he said that all these ones are not perfect. And they were not made perfect until we came. For we have received a better promise. That means our faith is better than that of the faith of Abraham. Our faith in Jesus is better than the faith of Moses. He said he combines all of them. And he said without us they are not perfect. And he said because of that, we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. In chapter 12, we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, lay aside every sin that easily besets you and run the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So now he concludes and says that this is the faith, is to look up to Jesus. When you look at the Greek word for look there, it means turn away from everything and look to one. So in chapter 11, he mentions all the people, Patrice, and he said, now turn away from Joseph, turn away from Elijah, turn away from Moses, turn away from Abraham, turn away from everyone, and look up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And he said, if you can look, then you will know you have come upon Mount Zion. You have come, the city of the Lord. Innumerable angels. This is the epic of the glory. When you can do this journey, Jesus becomes a place for you. You come into that place. And then he finishes the book with the last chapter, chapter 30. And he says that never be weary in loving one another. He said, this is it. This is what will authenticate all the glories that will be revealed it will be seen in love.
Yeah.
And he said, follow after the faith of your fathers. And if you follow, you realize that Jesus is the same yesterday, today,
and
forever. And you see, the last counsel of the writer was in chapter
16.
Do not stop to communicate. Do not stop to communicate. Do not stop. Hebrews 13 verse
16.
Don't. Then he's coming to show you. He said, don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Then the verse 17. This is how every glory that has been mentioned through that book will be held together. Obey your spiritual leaders.
Obey.
And do what they say. Their work is to watch over your soul. And they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That will certainly not be your benefit. So there will be other glories for the church. But he said it's going to be transferred through your obedience to the spiritual
leaders.
He said continue to communicate. Continue to give. Continue to give. And in giving, be obedient to the leaders. This is how all other glories
come
be attained. Gracie
Tadel.
Never let it come a day that you will rise against the authority of the church. You will be rising against the glory that must rise. This was the final counsel. Obey the leaders. For they watch over your soul. So the last glory of your life is that there will be a watchman over you. There will be. That's the last glory that Jesus is going to give you. And he said that that watchman will give account. So every night, whether consciously or unconsciously, apostle is giving accounts. And sometimes he will remember somebody and be very happy. You remember another and be sad. It is a message that someone is not really performing. And the Bible says that if they do this with sorrow, it will not be profitable to you. That means your profit in this kingdom is connected to the one you call your pastor. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Listen, this is why we have gone to church and we have shouted, I receive. I receive. I receive. But sometimes nothing is happening. The glory has a method. If you go home, go through it again. You realize that there are many things you have to be seeing. There are many things. And as you behold, you become. As you behold, you become. May the Lord raise glorious people in this church. May your eyes be open to behold. Shabala Mataya. Lift up your hands. Begin to pray right now. Begin to pray. You have no idea the glory that you can break through. If you understand these things, can somebody go higher? Can I hear only the church?
Somebody lift up your voice, speak in a low tone. Shout, Lord, open me up. I must take my sonship serious. I must take my ministry serious. If I have offended the set man of the house, if I have said anything behind him that has cut short my glory, have mercy. He is not unjust. There is a covenant of the throne of grace. Access it. There's a covenant of mercy. Access it. One more minute, cry out. Do I have prayer warriors? Go deeper in the law. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Ajman Elvis. For inquiries, send us a mail on PastorElvis@gracemountainministry.org. For questions relating to relationships and marriage, send us a mail on loveclinic@elvisajiman.org. You can also send your testimonies via testimonies@elvisajiman.org. For offerings, visit www.payalpha.org. For more information, make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. Remember, faith cometh from hearing, and hearing the word of God. Stay blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.